You don't know what you're missing. Amen. And I'm not talking about Sister Eva. Amen. You don't know what you're missing when you don't operate in the fullness of the walk that God has given saved people. Sometimes I wonder what we think life for saved people should be like. What is supposed to change for you when you get saved? Hallelujah. Well, one of the things I found out is that we can have all the blessings and miracles that we want, as long as they line up with the will and the way of God. But a lot of things we have to initiate into our lives. And I just want to share with you some of the ways to do that. Because God wants you all blessed. Amen. Amen? Listen, he doesn't want our pockets full of money just so that we can take a vacation every 2 weeks. You'll get tired of that too. Believe me, you will. You know, he wants his will to be done. But he wants his children to have more than enough. Amen. There is no reason anybody who have given their life to Jesus Christ should live a life of poverty. Amen. It just don't make no sense. If I was a billionaire, there's no way my children would run around in poverty. Amen. There's no way. And my love that I would have, excuse me, for my children don't even come close to the love that God has for us. Amen. So you know he doesn't want you to have lack in your life. As a matter of fact, he just told us week before last that this is a season of increase. So that tells me that he's getting ready to open some doors for us to have even more than what we thought we wanted or could have. Amen. I hope you're ready for this. Yes, amen. God is getting ready to bring about some changes, especially in this local environment. And for the changes to manifest themselves, God's going to have to use some of us. When I say some of us, I'm talking about God's children. Those that are saved, he's going to have to use some of us. And in order for him to use us effectively, listen, he's going to have to put us in a position where we have control of something. I hope you're ready for it. Amen. I hope you're ready for it. Sometimes I'll be wondering, what do we think as Christians? What do we think our lives should be like? We should get saved and then watch all the TV that we can? What is it you expect to happen? What is it? What kind of changes? How do you expect God to use you? Amen? How? I think it's a waste of time. Listen, for a person, I say a waste of time, but that's just my understanding. I think it's a waste of time for people just to just accept religiosity or religious traditions and not accept Jesus Christ and let the change come. I mean, why do that? You probably have a lot more fun partying. So why just pretend that you've got something that you don't have when you can have the real thing? Why not? Unless you've been convinced by the devil that his thing is the real thing. Today I want to start talking to you about manifesting miracles and blessings in your life. Calling them about. And not just so that you could be a selfish individual and you can have a lot, but so that you could be prepared at any given time. Any given time. Financially and physically to do whatever God's telling you to do. Whatever. Suppose God tell you to just feed everybody in your neighborhood. Now, he wouldn't have told you that if he hadn't already prepared you to do it. Amen? But suppose he tell you to do something like that. You want to be prepared. Let's go to Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 as an introductory scripture here. The Bible says in Numbers 23, 19, he says, God is not a man that he should lie. So he'll never lie to us, never. Neither is he the son of man, neither the son of man, rather, that he should repent. Has he said and has he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good? All throughout the Bible, God talks about blessing his people and allow miracles to manifest themselves in their lives. Were all those things God saying lies? No. No. And when God talks, he talks in pictures. He talks through visions. He talks through something you can see, either physically or inside. He plants pictures of possibilities in our imagination. Remember Abraham? He gave Abraham a picture of a son. Now, you got to understand, Abraham was 75 years old when he had to leave his family, when God told him to leave his family. And about 10, 12 years later, he had a son through the handmaid because of his wife's nagging at him about having a son. But then he realized that was not the son that God was talking about. And at the age of 100 years of age, God gave him a son by his wife. And she was 90. Now, if I had said, you're going to have a baby when you're 100 or when you're 90, you would look at me like I'm crazy. I would look at me like I'm crazy. But here it is, God saying it, and he gave him a picture of that. He gave him a picture of being the father of many nations, and that picture was inside of him. He did the same thing with Joseph. Remember Joseph? He gave Joseph a picture of his future, and he gave him a vision of the sun and the moon and the 12 of the 11 stars bowing down to him. That was his mother and his father and his 11 brothers. And they thought he was crazy. They thought he was crazy. You know the story of that. We're not going to go into that whole story. But that's what God does. He gives us pictures of possibilities in our imagination. He did the same thing with Jesus in his manly form. He gave him a picture of resurrection, of dying on the cross. Jesus knew that way before he had to die, of course. And God will do the same thing to you and for me. He'll give us visions inside of what he wants us to do. He'll just give us visions and show us. That's why it's so important to have that relationship with God. God uses our imagination. And these pictures that I'm talking about are called dream seeds. Everybody say dream seeds. Now these pictures are possible, but they're not inevitable. Sometimes there's something you have to do. And God's not going to make you do anything. He's not going to make you do anything at all. But he will guide you and tell you, and he will give you pictures of what he wants you to do. Your pursuit and your protection of these, what I call dream seeds, determine their fulfillment. And I know, hallelujah, since 1980, what is that, 43 years? For 43 years, God has been giving me dream seeds. He said, do this. He showed me, even when I couldn't understand how in the world could I do that? How am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? The last thing God told me to do, he gave me a vision of it, was to start that thrift store. Lord knows, I didn't have no desire to start a thrift store. But he showed me what to do, and he gave me the resources to do it. And then he guided me and directed me to people that could train me to run it and make it effective. God wants miracles and blessings to come through you. Don't you miss this thing. Please don't miss this thing. Well, the question that begs to be answered, what would you attempt to do if you knew that it was impossible to fail? See, a lot of times we keep it from happening because we think it's going to fail. But what would you attempt to do in your life? All of us are different, and all of us have different calling. What would you attempt to do if you knew that it was impossible to fail? Huh? Huh? God is a good God all the time. I want to encourage you. Listen, stop running behind religion. Find God. Find God, because that's when the whole thing happens. That's when everything believes. See, God can give you a picture of things. You just don't know how it's going to happen. Amen? I tell that story over and over, how God gave us a picture of buying this building here when we were on our way to Virginia. You know, but in my mind, I didn't understand how it was going to happen. You know, it was going to cost us about $800,000 just for this building and to fix it up and do everything we need to do. And we had less than 20. How am I going to do that? But how many of you know all you got to do is have faith in God? He's going to do the work. He's going to guide you. How much have you been missing out simply because you've been trying to do things your own way? How many miracles and how many blessings have you missed out on trying to do what you see other people doing and the way they're doing it? God says that's not the way I operate. What dreams stay with you no matter how impossible they seem? Do you have something to keep flashing over and over in your heart and your mind? And they don't seem to want to go away? What dreams that God has given you? Hallelujah. If God has given you those dreams, he wants to see them manifested. All you got to do is ask him, first of all, believe him, and then ask him what to do next. Here's another question. Have you ever wished that God would pour a miracle or a supernatural blessing out into your life to fulfill those dreams? God said, I want to do it, and I'm going to show you how to take part in this whole thing. You see, the good news is that God has given us the power to participate in the progress of our lives. He's given us that power, but we don't understand that it's there. We really don't. So we stay in our one little world, one little circle, trying to get a few pleasures from the devil sometime when we can. There's something much, much greater about being saved than just going to church. And God says, I want to introduce you to miracles and blessings. Hallelujah. What God does is God gives us the options to succeed. Let me say that again. God gives us the options to succeed. See, let me tell you something. Back in 1986, I didn't have to come to Ahoskie. God had showed me what he wanted me to do. He showed me when to go, but I hesitate on that. I had the options either to go to Ahoskie or not go to Ahoskie. And because of God's love for me, and that's all it could have been, he said, all right, young man. He said, and I throw that in there. He said, listen, if you believe it's me talking to you, get up, pack your bags, pack your furniture, and leave, or just forget it. And God is saying the same thing to many of us here today. See, but we don't understand that we have an option to succeed. And God will back you up all the way. Everything starts with him talking to you, him giving you a direction for your life. God wants us to see and feel our progress. He really does. Oh, if I can get everybody to believe this stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, being saved, hallelujah. Now, here I'm going again with this saved thing, but I'm telling you, you know, I haven't had a better life than I've got now. Amen. Compared to what I had prior to being saved. Amen. Amen? Amen? Are you with me? I had friends prior to being saved. I had money prior to being saved. Come on. I had the goodwill of folks around us prior to being saved, but it doesn't even compare no kind of way to my life right now since I said yes to the Lord. Don't miss on that thing. Don't do that. God wants us to see and feel our progress. And he wants to reward us for that progress. Once again, we're talking today about miracles and blessings as an introduction to this thing. What God wants for you and I is so much bigger than what you and I want for ourselves. It'll just blow your mind away. And it's time. It's time for people to make a decision. God or the enemy, one or the other. You don't have nothing. It's either God or the enemy. I'm hoping you make the right decision. You see, we are the children of God. Talk about those of us that have got saved. We are the children of God with the ability to believe, the ability to decide, and the ability to choose the miracles that happen in our lives. I know some of you don't believe that, and it's hard for you to grasp. But you have that kind of power. You have that. You have that kind of power. You have that kind of power. Hallelujah. You have that kind of power. Man, I wish I could just tell you some of the details of some of the things that have manifested through our life, but maybe down the road I'll do that. But right now, let me just take you to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. We're talking about manifesting miracles and blessings in your life. You manifesting them with the help of God. And God says, show them how to do that so they can go to the next level. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us great, exceeding great and precious promises. Well, if God has given us these promises that we're going to prosper, where is that? I told you before, you're not waiting on God. God is waiting on you. That by these promises, you might be partakers. Look at this. By these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. Look, you don't have to go no further in that verse. God says, I have promised you certain things. And because of these promises, now you can walk like you never walked before. Now you can live like you never, come on. When he's talking about divine nature, he's saying you can live like the gods in your mind. Huh? You can call things that be not as if they are. And then he goes on to say, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God says, because he's promised us these things, you can have the type of lifestyle that make people think that you hooked in with God, that make them think that you're part of that divine nature of God. Why are we living like we're living? Come on. Why aren't more miracles and blessings manifesting themselves in our lives? Why not? Why not? Why? Why not? Why not? Why not? Don't you want it? Don't you want it? Of course you want it. Amen. Of course we all want it. Abraham had an invisible picture of his many generations of children. And let me show you that. I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 20. Don't be in a hurry to leave here. Hallelujah. God's a good God. We come to be enriched. We come to get closer to God. We come to praise God in a fellowship with our other believers. We come to be discipled. And verse 18 through 20 says, this is the apostle talking about Abraham. He says, who against hope, believe in hope. Of course he didn't have any hope. He was almost 100 years old. He was 100 when this baby came on the earth, that he might become the father of many nations. It says against hope, he believed in hope. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And look at verse 19. And being not weak in faith. See, that's what most of us lack. We think, come on. We think it's all about God doing. God said, no, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible for God to work with you and through you. Amen. And being not weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body now dead. Not going to die, but now dead when it comes to reproducing another live being. The Bible said the boy is 100 years old. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He said he didn't even consider that. See, some of us think we're too old. Some of us think we're too young. Some of us think we're not educated enough. Some of us think we're not important enough to God. Hallelujah. It's about faith. God said, I want to manifest these miracles and blessings in your life. But you got to understand how this thing works. Hallelujah. Verse 20. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. See, I could stand up here right now and tell some of you older folks, listen, Listen, that you're getting ready to have triplets. I ain't looking at nobody. So you're getting ready to have triplets. And some of you would say, I don't want that. And then others would say, that can't happen to me. I'm too old. I had my tubes tied or whatever. But the Bible said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. God says, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And you're going to have a son with Sarah, 90-year-old Sarah. The Bible said he staggered not. Hallelujah. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. If you want to see the manifestations of miracles and blessings in your life, let me tell you something. You're going to have to know what it is you believe. Just going to church won't do it. Your mind won't let you do it. Jesus said, you abide in me and my words abide in you. And you should ask whatever it is you want. And that's one of the things that we as Christians don't allow to happen. We don't allow the word to abide in us. We think it's all about a once a week service that lasts for a couple of hours and then you're okay. Well, that's okay if that's all you want. But if you want the ability to manifest miracles and blessings in your life, where you can proudly say, I'll never be broke another day in my life. Come on now, the devil never keep me down with sickness another day in my life. When we need to be able to do that. That's where Abraham was. Abraham said, you say I'm going to have a baby, I'm 100, my wife 90, bring it on. Abraham did not stagger in unbelief. Do you want miracles and blessings to be manifested in your life? You're going to have to get this word in you to where you just simply believe it. You think you believe it. Hallelujah. You start believing this word and start making it a point of you, a part of you. Hallelujah. Things are going to start changing. There was another person in the Bible that was a good example for us. Remember that woman with the issue of blood?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It said the woman with the issue of blood carried an invisible pitcher of her being healed within her heart. An invisible pitcher. I believe God spoke to her and told her what she could have. But she had to do a certain thing and she did it. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. For the woman said, that's a powerful word, said, S-A-I-D. Because you can get to the point where you start speaking that thing out and it'll come about. For the woman said, if I may just touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And then verse 29 says, and straightway, and right away, come on, and immediately, come on, all those words, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. Soon as she touched the hem of his garment, and she felt in her body, and she was healed of that plague. God wants to manifest miracles and blessings in your life, but you got to help him. There's a principles involved here. There's just principles. It's just principles. And God's not going to let you or me or anybody else have that kind of success that we want without going through these principles. You can't violate the principles. You've got to understand them. But once you understand them, listen, then the devil will be defeated. Hallelujah. He'll be defeated in your life. He'll be defeated. The Bible says he come to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I want to just share with you as we wrap this up here today, four miracles and blessing areas that God wants for his people. Four areas. There may be more, but these four main areas of miracles and blessings God wants for his people. First of all, God wants you healed and healthy. Everybody say healed and healthy.
Healed and healthy.
Hallelujah. Healed and healthy. Healed and healthy. You know, devil's throwing all kinds of stuff in my way physically to kill me, you know, but none of them worked. None of them worked. None of them worked. None of them. You know, But God to do this thing, I'm telling you now, it's just, he's something else. That's all I'm saying. So the first thing that he wants for his people is health and healing. And my note says, any manufacturer is committed to the success of his product. And our Heavenly Father is no exceptions. We belong to God, as I mentioned earlier. God wants the very best for us. And when you get sick, he wants you healed. He wants you healed. The devil will come and tell you, look, you'll never get healed from this. You need to learn to tell him, no, you're a liar, devil. You're a liar. I'm getting healed for him. And if you keep coming around this house, I'm going to get healed faster. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Boy, you don't know the power that's in you. And we put up with too much. Hallelujah. Matthew 9:35, it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I believe Jesus was going through that and said, what you got? You ain't got no more. What you got? You ain't got no more. Huh? Most of the time when we get down and out, we do it to ourselves. Jesus hated sickness and diseases. You see, sickness is a time stealer. It'll rob you of your time. Sickness promotes selfishness. It makes people focus on themselves and on their own needs. Sickness is a money waster. I tell you, the doctor will have you with a box this big full of stuff. Amen? Because we go to so many different doctors. And they may not know, they may not really know what you're taking. So they give you something that they think you need. And they I'm sure they're not doing it dishonestly. They're giving you their best that they got. But how many of you know we got something better? But you listen, I'm not, once again now, I'm not telling anybody to stop taking medicine, all right? Because if you don't have the faith to walk without that, you're gonna cause some problems. You're going to cause some problems. But I know if it works for me, it'll work for you. But you got to be led by God. Hallelujah. Medical bills rob us of vacations and educational opportunities and needed finances to support the evangelism. So one of the ways that God wants to bless us and work miracles in our lives is through healing, come on, healing us and keeping us healthy. Is that all right with you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you might be thinking right now, well, preacher, you know, we got to get sick sometime. And my response to that is, why? Why? Now, if you eat 6 bags of candy every day, you're going to have some issues. But why? Why you got to be sick? Why can't you just die when it's time to die? You don't have to be sick. The second thing that God wants for us is he wants us clean and forgiven. We've talked about that a little bit. We call that salvation. See, when we come to God in true repentance, don't be coming jiving, trying to follow the crowd. God cleanses us of sin and makes us pure and holy in his sight. If he's done it for me, he'll do it for anybody that wants it. He'll give you a whole new life. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. So the second thing he wants for us, the second miracle and blessings he wants for us, he wants us clean and forgiven. The devil has come in here and Adam has turned the world over to him. And now there's darkness in the world. So when we come into the world, we come into a dark place. And we all have to be saved. We do. We have to be saved. There's no other way. You say, well, preacher, I'm a good person. It's not about you being good. It's about you being saved. It's about you being forgiven. It's about you being cleansed. I don't know about you, but listen, now that I know, I wouldn't want to miss this for the world. Not at all. The third thing that God wants for you and I, in the form of miracles and blessing, he wants to meet our financial needs. Oh, I dare you to turn it over to him. I dare you to turn your finances over to God. I dare you to do that. We all should, listen, we all should be in a situation where financially, come on, we should be out of debt, our needs are met. Come on, and what's the rest of that? Have plenty more to put in store. If that's, listen, if that's not your confession as a confessing saved person, then you're missing something. Now, if you're not saved, it don't matter. The devil will show you 100 ways to get rid of finances and make sure you don't have nothing. That's just the way he works. He'll make sure you don't have nothing. He'll make sure you're constantly depending upon him. So Jesus not only ministered to the sick, he also had a deep concern for poor people. He doesn't want us to worry about money. Amen. Hallelujah. He doesn't want us to. Listen, sometimes when God tells me to do something bigger than I would normally do, I get so excited because I know he's about to give me some money. Amen? He's about to give me more money than I had yesterday, because in order to do what he's telling me to do, it's going to take money. Hallelujah. Praise God. And listen, and whatever he tells you to do, hallelujah, now grab a hold of this. Whatever God tells you to do that takes money, when you've done whatever he tells you to do, there's going to be some left over for you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Talking about manifesting miracles and blessing. Look at Matthew 6, verse 30 and 32. It says, wherefore, I'm talking about your God. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, thrown away, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. And then he gives us a remedy in verse 31. He says, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Why? For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. The fourth and the last thing that I want to share with you today that God wants for us. He wants us to prosper in everything we do. Everything. Everything. Everything we do. 3 John 1 and 2 says this. Beloved, I wish above all things. How many things? All things, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. You see, prosperity is having enough of God's provision to do his will. You know, we shouldn't have to beg. We should not have to beg on a consistent basis to get God's will done. Psalm 103, verse 5 says, who satisfied your mouth with what? Good things. Why? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And then Philippians 4:19, which is one of my favorite verses, says, but my God shall supply all your needs. How many of your needs?
All.
According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Today is just an introduction to manifestation of blessings and miracles, or miracles and blessings. The question is, listen to this. If God wants all of this for us, then what makes miracles and blessings actually happen? That's the question. Is there a formula for miracles and for blessings? And my answer to you is absolutely. There is a formula. Miracles are not haphazard experiences doled out by a moody, temperamental God. No, neither can they be begged or bought. It doesn't work that way. Miracles and blessings are God's rewards. Hallelujah. For using our faith in him. For the next few weeks, listen to this. We will be looking at the master keys to achieving miracles and blessings for that which is inside of us, for our dream seeds. You don't want to miss the next few weeks. Amen. I'm just going to share with you. Now, whether or not you use these principles, that's on you. That's just on you. It's just on you. But God wants his people to come to another level. God wants all of us to just be walking in a level where people are looking at us and say, how'd he do that? How'd she do that? How'd he get that? How'd she get that? They don't have nothing. How'd they get that? They want people to see God in us. And meanwhile, we get blessed. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to, hallelujah, I'm closing with this, but wouldn't it be nice to have a lifestyle, and some of you already got those kind of lifestyle, but it's going to get bigger. But wouldn't it be nice to have a lifestyle where you never worry about how much something costs? Amen? I'm not just talking about just going grabbing stuff out there because you could do it, but stuff you want. Stuff you want. Stuff you want. As a child of God and you a woman out there trying to buy a dress in a store, what difference does it make if it costs $20 or $200? Wouldn't you want to be in a position where you buy whichever one you want? Amen? Amen? God wants you in that position. He wants you there. He wants you there. Amen. That's why he said, Dan, start talking about manifesting miracles and blessings in their lives. Now, there's a price to pay for all of this. And the price is loyalty to God. The price is total submission to his will, his way, and his word. The price is making up your mind who you will serve. That's the price. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the author said in the Old Testament, but as for me, in my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? We're going to serve the Lord. Just the only way it works. If you're here today and the devil's been tricking you, causing you to do things that you know you shouldn't be doing, listen. You just need to fight that with all your heart and all your might. And the way you fight that, once again, I want to remind you that, is just remind yourself over and over and over, I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. I'm just not going to hell. And the only way to escape hell, hallelujah, is through acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Let's just go to God in prayer. Father God, you've heard the word that I've delivered to your people regarding manifesting miracles and blessings in their lives. Father, prepare the future sermons on this topic, Lord God, hallelujah, so that it'll be crystal clear as to what they need to do and what we all need to do, Lord God, hallelujah, to see those blessings and miracles manifested in our lives. Now, Lord God, hallelujah, as we move forward in our service today, we just ask that your presence just overtake anything that's in our hearts or mind that's different.